Good morning. May it please the Court, my name is Barbara Klein, and I represent the defendant appellate Alice Franklin. Your Honors, an appeal, this relates to an appeal of a sentence imposed on the defendant appellate for a violation of supervised release in the Northern District of Illinois. This was originally filed to preserve issues pending the Supreme Court's decision in Claiborne and Rita.
It's pretty much a dud after Rita, isn't it?
Well, I was going to say that we'll be discarding argument number two based on the Supreme Court's opinion in Rita.
One might think it's never too late to file an Andrews brief.
Your Honor, however, we do believe that argument number one, whether the appellant's sentence was unreasonable, still is an issue that we would like to raise here. Even with the finding in Rita, the judge is required to articulate enough to satisfy the appellate court of the reasoned basis for the sentence. Furthermore, Your Honors, the guidelines regarding the sentence for violation of supervised release have always been advisory, and they still require the court to consider the 3553A factors. It's our position that the sentencing court did not address those factors sufficiently. First of all, I would note that the sentencing court was provided with the details of appellant's cooperation, but it did not address this at all. The government argues that it was implicitly rejected by the court, but there's absolutely nothing in the record to support that at all. There were other factors that were not considered, and because of that failure to articulate those factors, the court doesn't really have a record on which to decide the reasonableness.
I must say, counsel, I just don't get it. While he was on supervised release, your client committed new frauds, evaded his income tax, violated the rules by moving without telling the probation officer, and he got for this conduct, which, if it were the basis of a criminal conviction, could land him in prison for 10 or 20 years, 12 months. How can that be unreasonably high?
Well, Your Honor, the sentence he got for the underlying crime was 8 months. So what he got for the violation of
supervised release shows he's incorrigible, and he gets 12. One would think somebody who shows he's incorrigible would get more than 12.
Well, Your Honor, I would point out that he was not charged with a crime for any of this conduct. He was never charged, and, in fact, that violation was dropped at the point of sentencing. So he was not charged with a crime. One of the other violations was failure to report a change in address when the facts showed actually that he was living in two different places. And so while he did admit to that technical violation, it's clear that that was very minor. There was no indication at all that he was trying to evade the probation officer or attempt to not be found or anything like that. Well, Your Honor, again, I would go back simply to say that there were a number of the factors, 3553 factors, that were not addressed, that should have been addressed, and this goes to, it's impossible for this court to make a determination of reasonableness without a record on those factors, and therefore we're asking that this be remanded so that those factors can be considered on the record. I'll reserve my time.
Thank you, Ms. Klein. Mr. Rao.
May it please the court, counsel, Pervin Rao on behalf of the United States. As this court just stated, Mr. Franklin engaged in new conduct, criminal conduct. He evaded taxes. He moved without informing probation. In fact, he showed himself to be a recidivist more than anything else. And accordingly, the 12-month sentence imposed by the district court was reasonable, especially in light of the serious nature of the violations that he did of conditions of supervised release. And it was justified by the court's stated reasons. The court did state very clearly that she was disappointed in Mr. Franklin, that he had done conduct which was similar to what he had done in the original case. And that sentence is entitled to a rebuttable presumption of reasonableness. And accordingly, the United States respectfully requests that the court affirm the defendant's sentence. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rao. Anything further, Ms. Klein?
Unless you have any further questions,
I think not. Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.